This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We got to celebrate something, for goodness sake. I think you're all so weary. So I figured that could pump you up just for a couple of seconds anyway. Speaking of celebrating, can you imagine this? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. To me, of all the things that I was told over the last 24 hours, to me, this one is the most incredible. I think of all the snow that people in the Northeast and the Midwest are getting and that just went through. There's a 10-year-old girl who survived 18 hours overnight, 10, in a freezing winter blizzard in Russia. And what was the secret? A stray dog. She went missing from school and got caught in this freezing, weird, cold snowstorm. She clung to the stray animal before finally some volunteers and others could find her, and they did. She went missing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Her mother was panicked, phoned the police. And because a blizzard had up to 2 feet of snow drifts, there was, like, poor visibility. And finally, they scoured the town trying to find her, and they found her. Is that not miraculous? I mean, there's something to definitely to celebrate, right? And luckily, there was somebody who had seen a girl playing with a dog near a shelter, and she was at least dressed for the cold. But she was under a low balcony hugging the animal. They both sat on a mattress, and she was hugging this fluffy stray dog for warmth. I love it. I love that story. That is, like, it's such a miracle that they found her alive and that she could survive that. All right, speaking of survival, it's the survival of the fittest when it comes to the words that we use, politically speaking. And Joe Biden has a little bit of that foot-and-mouth disease. He faced a lot of backlash on Thursday because of what he said about the Ukraine and the situation in the Ukraine. This is the problem. If he does, like, a freewheeling kind of thing, he is not the ad libber freewheeling kind of president guy. He did that news conference on Wednesday that I talked about, 2 hours long, and he answered a lot of questions on the Ukrainian crisis, and he kind of shook up Ukrainian leaders. He absolutely. And undercut this united front that was sought after by NATO and suggested that if Moscow's incursion into the Ukraine were minor, the reaction by U.S. allies might be less severe. So they have quelled the choppy waters, diplomatically speaking. He has to have a scriptwriter because you can't be saying stuff like that. The Ukrainian president really just rejected the notion. He tweeted something out. He rejected the notion there was such a thing as a minor incursion when it comes to the invasion of one country or another. Look, it's just going to be a minor incursion. It's not big. So only a few people will get killed, but not as many. And this is what Zelensky, who is the Ukrainian president, said on the tweet. He said, "We want to remind the great powers that there are no minor incursions and small nations, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. I say this as the president of a great power." What a train wreck, right? I mean, the press conference was a train wreck. It was botched. I mean, that's when you get into problems, right? Because then you basically do I think he meant to do this? I think he didn't think about what he was saying. But you give a green light to a megalomaniac like Putin to invade the Ukraine by going on and on about minor incursions, and that's not good, right? That's like an important moment when you're the president. Everything you say and do is tweeted, is recognized, is out there. And listen, all of the presidents have foibles and fumbles and all of that, regardless of what party, etc. But this was a pretty bad one. So they had to do damage control. They had to do damage control on Thursday with live comments from the vice president in morning television interviews and then from the president himself later in the day to make sure. And then they had to also quell the fears of the Ukrainian officials and leaders, right? That they had to be in touch with them to make sure the conversations, this is what was meant, oh, et cetera. Immediately, they had to jump all over that. So, you know, you look at the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, and his trips to Berlin, his trips to Kiev, et cetera, and trying to show that there's a commitment to doing everything that the U.S. can to protect Ukraine's sovereignty. And as he said in Berlin, we cannot choose the path from Moscow, but we can make crystal clear the stark consequences of that choice. And he spoke after a meeting of the transatlantic quad, which is the U.S., Germany, Britain, and France. But after those comments, it just wasn't clear what Biden said. I mean, a minor incursion. So anyway, they walked it back on Thursday, and this is a president who does have that tendency to absolutely put his foot in his mouth, and what could be an endearing characteristic, oh, that's just Joe when you're on the Hill. Much different when you're the leader of the free world and you're sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You can't make the, oh, duh, comments. And so they clarified them and try to clean it up. But, again, do you want to give Putin any kind of a sign that, well, if it's just a minor infraction, no problem about that? Because for weeks, the emphasis has been on the fact that Washington is united with the European allies, about responding to whatever the Russian threat is, right? In whatever the circumstance is. Wow. So that goes down. That gets charted. Because we're getting closer to that point where you figure when you're the president and you're running again for re-election, and we've seen this with all of our last presidents. We had how many in a row that were successfully elected? Bush 2 and Clinton and Obama, and Trump was the one that wasn't, that didn't get didn't stay in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for another 4 years. But Joe Biden did say during that rambling 2-hour press conference that he and Kamala Harris were absolutely going to go and go for another term. And then you look at what the Republicans are storing away, and this is what you do in any good adversary, and any good political operative would start adding these things up, and you can bet they're going to trot this back out when you look for ammunition against the current administration. It may be on a smaller shelf, but on a world stage it's bigger, and it'll be trotted out when you start to have campaign slogans and commercials and whatnot. Mic drop next.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
What can happen, you know, when you're out there, you know, when you are a television reporter, television anchor out live on a scene somewhere. Early in my career, in fact, I talk about it in my book, Deal Your Own Destiny. I was shot at in Mexico covering an election, and I was in a flood one time where a photographer had to carry me across this ravine, and it ended up on the front page of the Albuquerque Journal. So in Albuquerque and in El Paso and in California, I was an anchor and I was a reporter, so I would be out there doing live shots. And it can get kind of tricky sometimes depending on the crowd. I was in a riot once and they were throwing bottles. They didn't throw anything at me, but you're there and there's a bright light and things can happen. But this never, ever happened to me. There was some severe weather that was going on in West Virginia, and there was a reporter, Tori Yorgi, her name is, reporting roadside from the city of Dunbar to give the viewers of this NBC affiliate, WSAZ, the latest on this water main break that happened with these wet and icy conditions in the area, so made it even more treacherous. But before she had the anchor, had her on camera, they had a two-shot of them, the anchor and her, and he was going to her, and as that was happening, here's ultimately what went down on camera.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's perfect.
I'm okay.
TV, Tori.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay.
Yeah, mic drop. So here she is live. He's very calm going to her. And then, oh, my God, I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay. And that's what she told the anchor, Tim Err, like seconds later. And the impact knocked her out of the frame. She was on the ground. She never stopped reporting. And despite she was, you know, becoming the subject of her own coverage, despite all of that, and she said, you know, that's live TV for you. She was struggling to get back into the shot. She was out in the field solo. And so we call that one-man band because she had a tripod with the camera on, so there's no photographer to help her out. So there she was. She righted the camera. She had to do that after she got hit, and she kept going. She said, I actually got hit by a car in college just like that. I'm so glad I'm okay. So, wow, it was everywhere. It went all over the place. People were talking about it and people were playing it. And the woman that drove the car that hit her must have felt awful. And she said that. She said the woman was so nice. She didn't mean to. It was an accident. I know it was. She was remarkably calm. And then, of course, the video went viral on social media. And, wow. So she did go to the hospital to get checked out, and she was doing fine on Thursday morning. And when you're a reporter and you're in a smaller market, you're always looking for that bigger leg up, so to speak. And you kind of wonder, I don't know if people look at what she did, what happened to her, if maybe she ends up getting another job, seriously, because I said, wow, look, she's an intrepid reporter. She just keeps, there she is. There she is in West Virginia in this harrowing situation. She gets hit by a car, and she keeps going, and she gets up from the ground. And plus, in the studio, they don't scramble or do anything. They're just watching it all unfold because they don't have anybody with her. And it was just the craziest thing. And the perfect mic drop. I think what would be so fascinating to people, I always say I was going to write another book called Behind the Mic, and it could be the same with Behind the Camera. And so many things happen to you when you're just out there and you're doing your thing, but never have I heard of anyone getting hit by a car. Were there, of course, reporters that are roadside, or there were overpasses where it's icy and they have a live truck with them, perhaps, and you can see what's going on around them. But, boy, that is the trickiest. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Since we don't have a man cave this time around, and it is a big weekend in football, a couple of quick hits for you on the weekend, right, that I think are important, which you'll hear a little bit of this. You'll hear a little bit of this later, too, because we've got a couple of great interviews coming up. We're going to go to Ireland for one. And then we're going to talk with Zach Schertz and about his book, too, as well. But with what's happening in the NFL and sky-high ratings for these playoffs, really, really solid ratings, I think people, we need a distraction, right? And so I think even sort of mild football fans are paying attention. It's the playoffs and anything can happen. It's a whole, you know, different thing. But some of the off-field comments or on-field shenanigans that happen that you kind of miss when you're focused on the action included Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott being fined $25,000 by the league for his post-game comments related to the officials following the Sunday loss. There was a question to Prescott. See, this is where people get trapped, right, in these questions off the cuff. There was a post-game question to Prescott on Sunday that indicated initially the fans were throwing things at his teammates in anger as they walked off the field following the wild card game, which he called sad. But then he was told objects were directed at the officials, and he said, credit to them then, credit to them. So he was even given a chance to walk back what he had just said at the end of his news conference, and he didn't. So on Tuesday, he tweeted three times to his 1.4 million followers the apology. I deeply regret the comments I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up, of course, in that loss to San Francisco. He said, I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss. My words were uncalled for and unfair. I hold the NFL officials in the highest regard and have always respected their professionalism and the difficulty of their jobs. The safety of everyone who attends a game or participates on the field of a sporting event is a very serious matter. This was a mistake on my behalf, and I am sorry. So, you know what's crazy is he's a good guy. He is a finalist for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, so he took criticism for his comments, you know, from the media, from the Referees Association, which encourages, which was encouraging the NFL to take action to discourage deplorable behavior, and, you know, that's what he had to do. So they were going to fine him. I assumed they were going to fine him, and they did. So there you go. It's, again, these off-the-cuff moments, I guess. You know, we live in that world where if you say it, you own it, and it's going to be out there in the Twittersphere and everywhere else. How about Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians? I love this guy. I do. I think he is the perfect coach in the second half for Tom Brady. But he was fined $50,000 by the NFL because he swiped his hand at his safety, Andre Adams' helmet, during the wild card game against Philadelphia. He was trying to move Adams, who was trying to pull a player out of a pile after a muffed punt, which would have drawn a penalty. So he was slapping Adams' helmet hard with an open hand and then elbowing him. And, of course, Adams wasn't penalized on the play. And Arians said, I'll appeal it. It ain't got nothing to do with the game, so we're good. That's what he said. And the note to Arians about what happened is they say that he displayed conduct directed towards players that fell below standards expected of an NFL coach, right? If you remember, he's not the coach now, but Urban Meyer, who was then the Jags coach, like last month, had serious scrutiny rained down on him when former kicker Josh Lambeau told the Tampa Bay Times that Meyer had kicked him during warm-ups at a practice. He was fined the next day, but for a whole bunch of different things. But he's out of there. He's out of pro football right now. For Arians, you know, he said he was asked whether he regretted making physical contact with a player. He said, no, I've seen enough dumb. You can't pull guys out of a pile. We just got a big play, great field position. He's trying to pull a guy out of a pile. He's trying to knock him off that guy so he didn't get a penalty. We'll see. There is the appeal process.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden is clarifying some comments that he made on Wednesday. He now is stressing that there will be consequences if Russian President Vladimir Putin moves his troops into Ukraine.
Any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion. But it will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies.
These comments come just one day before Secretary of State Antony Blinken's meeting on Friday with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. They're hoping to defuse tensions. Another winter storm is heading into parts of the southeast and mid-Atlantic. Forecasters say major travel disruptions along portions of Interstate 85 and 95 in Virginia and the Carolinas will be affected. This is USA Radio News. The Supreme Court has denied abortion providers' latest request to intervene in the ongoing legal challenge against Texas' restrictive abortion law, cutting off one of the few remaining paths to a speedy victory for abortion providers. The case is currently before the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which sent the case to the Texas Supreme Court. Abortion providers were hoping the Supreme Court would direct the 5th Circuit to send the case to federal district court, where a judge previously blocked the law. A new report shows not as many people are buying homes right now.
The National Association of Realtors says that the figure dropped 4.6% last month. That comes out to just under 6.2 million units. Full year sales for 2021 were just over 6.1 million. That's an 8.5% jump from the pandemic-filled year of 2020. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
We go now to one of my favorite places in the world. You all know that. Kildare, Ireland is where we're going. Alva Cronin joins us, and she's written a really, really interesting novel that I think you'll get lost in. And then there's a special surprise at the end of it. So it's called The Bridge of Now. Alva, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Case. Thank you for talking to me.
What led you to becoming a writer? Because you are now a writer. What led you down this path of writing the novel?
Yes, that is strange to be a published author. I do have a background in, you wouldn't have considered me an author. I have a background in, I studied languages and marketing management and had a career in financial services. But really, about 20 years ago, I started a spiritual journey, I suppose, a spiritual awakening. And I am now working, practicing Reiki and Sakim teacher and practitioner. So I had always wanted to write, Kate. I had always wanted to write a book. My mother, everybody who belonged to me always told me that I should write. And really it was, I was thinking and trying and once or twice tried and then failed. And then when the pandemic happened, really in March 2020, I ran out of excuses because I could no longer see people face to face. So there just never seemed to be a better time than to actually sit down and put my thoughts in, on paper and to write my book.
And tell us about The Bridge of Now. What's it about?
The Bridge of Now, it's a story about family, really. It's a story, it's a circle of life story. It's a story about three generations of a family. It begins with Laura, one of the characters, and she leaves an abusive marriage, taking her toddler son, Daniel, with her. And the story then follows Daniel's growing up and meeting an older lady called Elba. And Elba is that kind of wise old wisdom keeper, that kind of old mysterious woman. And she winds her way in and out of the story at crucial times. She's kind of like the mentor in the novel. So Daniel grows up and meets and marries Anna, and they have family and children. And the stories really then within the novel grow out of those relationships. So there would be themes of love and family and absolutely the background of abuse and abandonment, but it leads us into stories of forgiveness. But also it looks at the kind of the darker aspects of life in some ways, depression, anxiety, but also that kind of rebirth. And into the story, I've woven little wisdoms that I've picked up on my own journey as a healer, working with people as they navigate their life's ups and downs. And those little wisdom pieces are mostly told through the voice of Elba, of the wise old lady. So I just loved writing this book. It's about family, about love, about relationships, yes, about disappointment, heartache and grief, but also about, Kate, the human attributes of resilience and the power to overcome and being hopeful and accepting and striving to be better and allowing love really to transform us and to shield us. So then also within the novel, I mean, Kate, I'm Irish, so there's a little bit of magic and there are some fairies in the background. And there's also actually even that magical quality to Elba's character from the get-go. You know, we don't know really who she is. She's almost like the earth herself. She's ancient and a teacher and a nurturer and a truth teller. You know, she'll tell the truth as well. So she kind of makes the book for me, but also I actually love all the characters. I was sorry when I finished writing the book, you know, that the book had come to its natural conclusion, and I miss the characters.
And because you miss the characters, we know there's a sequel coming up, and we'll get to that in a second. But you also have a surprise at the end of the novel. You have a guidebook, as you told me, that people can work through what they're thinking, right?
Yes, absolutely. I do believe that most people will find something special in The Bridge of Now. It can just be taken as a novel to take on vacation, just to read through. Or, the guidebook is designed to help the reader to integrate the teachings held within the book, to integrate them into our lives, you know, to make our lives a little bit better, a little bit easier. And it really was for that purpose that I sat down to write the book. You know, we are, as we all know, living through some really precarious times right now. And we, I think, need to have, yes, our heads and our wits and everything, but we really need to have our hearts about us. And I think that anything, you know, the hope and trusting in the process of what is going on, you know, that we're not privy to the huge divine plan, but that we must do our own job as well as we can do. You know, so the guidebook helps us in taking out the stories or the themes of the book and helping us to work with them in our own lives.
Yeah. The Bridge of Now, by the way, you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Tell me about the sequel, because, of course, now there's going to be a sequel.
Well, yes, I did say earlier that I had just written the book. It sounded like if I wrote it in 2020. I didn't. I got quite stuck. And very luckily and happily, I joined a course run by Kathleen McGowan, who is the Magdalene Trilogy author herself and a star of Jane Ashley. So they provided really the structure for me to allow the story to come out. And I found that I enjoyed it so much that, yes, I am writing the sequel. So I am signed up again to Divine Writing Journey with Kathleen and Astara. And we're writing about the kind of the next generation. So we had Laura, who was the grandmother, and Daniel and Anna, and all of the interactions between their families and parents and the stories and trials and tribulations and terrors and great times that they went through. But they had children. So the Bridge of Now finishes when the children are just at kind of college going age. So the sequel is going to follow what goes through what they go through and where they bring their genetic lineage as well, kind of to, you know, to what healings they do within themselves to help their own kind of family line, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that, too. So The Bridge of Now, like I said, you can get it wherever great books are sold. Alva Cronin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you very much.
And as we roll food and diet this hour of the show, a couple of quick headers for you. First of all, a new Gallup poll. You know how I am the poll princess. New Gallup poll shows that the pandemic pessimism is growing. Are we shocked? Of course we're not shocked. We're tired of it. We thought this was all going to be over with, didn't we? And I don't care who you are or where you hail from. I know you thought that. I can tell you, honestly, I thought a year and a half, maybe. Certainly not where we are now. Anyway, 20% think, according to this Gallup poll, that the pandemic is improving. 22% say it's staying the same. 58% think it's getting worse. And then 50% are worried about contracting COVID-19. And that's shot up 12 points since last November. And of course it has. We've talked about it on this show because there's more infections. More people you know are getting it. I know somebody that was infected twice. And by the way, they were vaxxed and boosted. So what does that tell you? And the first time around, she was pretty sick. Didn't have to go to the hospital, was very sick. The second time, isolating both times, second time has a family. Second time, not quite as bad, but exhausted, not feeling great, that kind of thing. But again, not as bad, the symptoms. So the hopelessness of Americans is starting to, you're starting to feel it. And I think we were very hopeful last spring after the rollout of the vaccines, and whether you're not a vaccine proponent or you reluctantly got it or whatever the case might be, enough people got it that there was optimism, and other people felt they were fine anyway. So I just think there was more hopefulness, right? And, you know, then we get into October, and then we see what also happens with the Delta variant. And once again, you know, coming through on that other end, and now we're being crushed by Omicron. I mean, how many different variants of this do we have to go through? So not a shock that the Gallup poll tells us, oh, there's much more pessimism. And you see it because you talk to these doctors on the front line, and they're burned out. People in these hospitals are exhausted because other people are testing positive that they work with. They're working more hours and they're overextended. And I liked what this one director, Dr. James Samuel Pope, said. I saw a quote from him. He's an intensive care doc at Hartford Hospital. And he said, in Connecticut, where one of our great affiliates is, he said, it's been very much the Wild West for about the last 2 weeks. More ER visits in a day than we've ever had. And he sees that people are unvaccinated, many of them are intubated or attached to an oxygenation system to help them breathe. And the frustration, he says, is very real. And here's the key thing in listening to what he had to say in this quote I saw, is that he says the range of the patients ages between 22 and 80-something. So, of course, there's burnout. Of course, healthcare workers are tired of what's happening, right? I mean, gosh, I mean, it's hard to feel bubbly when you're in the middle of this, right? And listen, you're listening to someone who is a glasses-half-full person always. I'm resilient. I have found a way to always bounce back, and I see it in so many people. You can just see that exhaustion. So the good news is, in many areas, we're seeing the numbers dip. Yay. We're seeing the numbers dip. However we get there, I don't care. But seeing the numbers dip, I think, is a very, very good thing. So while some are on the rise, some are in the opposite direction, right? And by the way, as far as vaccinated in this country, according to Johns Hopkins, 63.1%. So how about that? Vax or not vax? I want to hear your opinion still, always, with that unofficial poll we're running. You can hit me up at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Stay with us.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All right, we are going to introduce you here on the show to, I think, a guy who has just a tremendous book and a tremendous heart based on now my off-air conversation with him and also going through his book. His book is The Joyful Gospel of Christ, and Zachary Schertz joins us to talk about his book and the road that led him to writing that and why you would find it interesting. So, Zach, thanks so much for coming on.
It's lovely to meet you. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about why you wrote the book. What made you decide, I'm going to write this book?
Well, I realized that there were a lot of illustrated Bibles out there, but they all really did have the same problem. Either they were grossly oversimplified or historically inaccurate, and I realized that there really needed to be something to get this job done, because you hand a kid a Bible, he's going to say, oh, this is a bunch of words, it's boring. Hey, this one has pictures.
Yes. So when you set out to do that, what was that undertaking like?
Well, the hardest part was really finding a good artist, and I think I found a really good artist. And another really hard part was getting the four Gospels to work together. As you know, they tell the same story from four different angles, and I had to really make them match, and that was a little harder than I thought it would be.
But somehow you did it, so that's very cool. And for you, what is your favorite part of the Bible?
My favorite part of the Bible as a whole would probably be Ezekiel 33:2-6. It is my life's ministry passage. It basically says that if there is a threat coming to the land and a watchman set to keep an eye on things does not say anything and the threat comes to the people, their blood is on his hands. But at the same time, if he warns the people and they do not take heed, he is clear of their blood and they are on their blood is on their own hands. People who are set into an idea of watching it to make sure that nothing goes wrong will have a greater condemnation in the coming judgment.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting too. And I had no idea what you were going to pick. And I think people think about that, but I don't know how much they're processing it. For you, what did you learn about putting this together?
I learned that the Bible is infinitely more fascinating than I ever thought. There's more details about things that work together. Just small things here and there that you wouldn't have noticed. For example, with John the Baptist, a lot of illustrated Bibles I see have the Pharisees come and test John, but the scripture is actually clear. First they send their disciples, and then they come to speak to him themselves.
Yeah, wow. You know, it's interesting when I was thinking about, like you said, the illustrations and things that you saw that were frustrating because so many Bibles didn't get it right. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of that is tradition that's come over the years. For example, one tradition that came about from the medieval artists is that Jesus had long hair. There's actually no evidence of it. It was actually very fashionable in the Middle Ages and in medieval periods to have long hair, but Jesus actually would have had very short hair.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because every single image is the opposite of that.
Yeah, and I also see a lot of images of Jesus as a white guy, and that just bothers me.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think... you know, in pulling this together, and you said your reasons why. I mean, I guess it's worth it, so I understand the reasons why. But people listening, and of course, we're talking to Zachary Schertz, and his book is The Joyful Gospel of Christ. You can also reach out to him at schertzwriting.net. That's where you can find out more, and you can get the book on Amazon. What do you ultimately hope people take away from reading this book?
The one thing I really hope that people get out of this book is so that they can say, hey, I can trust the Bible, because I've seen more than a fair share of people say, oh, we can't trust the Bible because there are contradictions, such as between the four Gospels. This Gospel includes this, this one doesn't include that. And I want people to be able to see, hey, it's one continuous narrative. One author might have included details that the other didn't. For example, in the healing of the Gerasene demoniac, one gospel says that there are two demoniacs. One gospel says that there are one. I think the one that says there's only one is Luke. But there were two demoniacs. It's just that when it mentions one, because only one actually interacts with Jesus.
Wow. And see,
I want to dispel a lot of these contradictions.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There are a lot of contradictions, and you obviously uncovered them and found them out. Do you have another book on the horizon? Are you going to write another book?
Yes. Upcoming volume is The Luminous Gospel of Christ. Joyful ends just before Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and Luminous picks up right there and continues on just before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem.
Wow. Well, we'll look forward to
it. I also have another book that's ready called Operation Battleground Textbook. It discusses some of the errors in the evolutionary thinking and basically says, look, there's no evidence for evolution. Is it possible? even remotely possible that there might be another explanation.
There you go. I can't wait to find out more about those as well. But like I said, people can get you at churchwriting.net. They can get this book, The Joyful Gospel of Christ, on Amazon, and where great books are sold. So, Zach, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, and do have a blessed day. And remember to always be the watchman.
You too. Thank you. So this isn't the official man cave this time around, but we do have a big weekend coming up in the NFL, so I thought I'd throw in a couple of quick things. One, for the Bengals, their sack leader has been cleared to play, Dre Henderson. He had a concussion, so he cleared the concussion protocol. That's good news because he's their top pass rusher. They're going to need him if Tennessee is going to run the ball a lot on that Saturday game in that divisional playoff game. Also for the Titans, Derrick Henry passed the test with contact practice, so he's in, and Derrick Henry on the other side of the ball is an incredible weapon on the ground for the Titans. And he's been on injured reserve since the beginning of November because of a fractured foot he suffered in that win over the Colts in week eight. Now, as for the rest of what we're looking at as far as this upcoming weekend and the schedule, it's worth repeating this again, because don't you hate it when you don't know the exact time of a game and you're running around with a honey-do list or your own list of to-dos, or you just lose track of time? So 4:30 on Saturday, it all kicks off. It's the Bengals and the Titans. Remember, I just mentioned those two players. That's an AFC divisional playoff game, obviously. Then 8:15, it's the kick between the 49ers and the Packers. I'm very curious here. There's a banged up Jimmy Garoppolo, who is saying he's feeling well, though, and Aaron Rodgers, who's on a quest, I think, to get back to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl after the kind of season Green Bay has had, some really exciting wins, and even in some of the losses just by the hair of their chinny chin chin. So taking that 13-4 record and the week off and going up and hosting the 49ers, I think that gives them such an edge. But they're not even a touchdown favorite. They're just a 5.5-point favorite. Then on Sunday at 3 o'clock, the Rams and the Buccaneers. The Rams have some great weapons, but the Buccaneers have a great defense too. And Tampa is favored only by 3, but I think this could be, it certainly is going to be, I believe, a much closer game than the lame game against the Philadelphia Eagles, who just didn't bother to show up. I think this will be closer, but I can't imagine that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, after winning the Super Bowl, don't pull this out. And how they've played this year, they've had some losses. Obviously, New Orleans always has their number, but I think they emerge from this one. And to me, and I keep saying that, I said it all week, if you heard me at all on the Man Cave, the Bills and the Chiefs, you know, you look at Pat Mahomes and wanting to get back for the third time to the Super Bowl, and some of the great wins recently the Chiefs have had. The Chiefs are only favored, though, by 1.5 at Arrowhead. And then for the Bills, I mean, you know, you look at the Bills, and the Bills is all about, the team, I think, is so focused around Josh Allen and what will he be able to do. So exciting stuff this weekend. I know I'll be watching. Thanks so much for listening to this version of the show. It's 2022. I keep saying it. Make account people. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.